listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Vanessa Diaz, and this is episode 391.5, airing on Friday, December 9th. And today I'm going to tell you about some of my favorite season's readings. Before we get into that, let's hear from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by National Geographic Books. So take a second, think to yourself, what is one of the weirdest, but kind of interesting, intriguing, intelligent animals that you know of? If you, like me, think of an octopus, then Secrets of the Octopus by Cy Montgomery is the book for you. It is a beautifully illustrated book that explores the underwater world of the octopus, a creature that resembles an alien life form, but whose behavior has earned it a reputation as one of the most intelligent animals on the planet. This journey into the world of the octopus reveals how large their brains are. They occupy their whole body, not just their heads. They can adjust their genetic makeup to respond to the demands of the environment. So with this book, you can see how the octopus can change shape and color to camouflage themselves more effectively than any other species. They are cool AF. So learn about all of this and more in Secrets of the Octopus. And thanks again to National Geographic Books for sponsoring this episode.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
So I am definitely a person who likes to do seasonal reading. I don't exclusively read holiday themed books in December, but I do read plenty of them. I'm a person who reads, and you know this if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time. I love reading, witchy, vampire-y, ghosty things in October, and I will read, a few extra pieces of romance during Valentine's Day. It's just a fun little treat. Do I have to do it? No, but I especially, at the end of a very tough 3 years, this year in particular, I feel like I'm really leaning into just searching for comfort in the books that I read. And for me, that means stuff like romance and cozy mystery and just anything with that holiday theme. And I'm going to talk about two of my favorites, one that is a recent release, still a backlist title because it came out last year, and one that I haven't actually read in some time. Let's get into it before I go off on a tangent that you don't need to hear. The first of which is Amor Actually, a holiday romance anthology by, deep breath, Zoe Castile, Alexis Daria, Adriana Herrera, Diana Munoz Stewart, Priscila Oliveras, Sabrina Sol, and Mia Sosa. What a powerhouse stack of romance authors. And they're all Latina, which brings me to why I'm so obsessed with this book, which came out late last year. It's actually, I think, maybe the last book that I might have read in 2021. I love, again, something that is set during the holiday or the time of year that I'm about to, celebrate. So I love reading, holiday stuff in December. But the fact that this has a whole Latina cast written by a bunch of Latinas, it's got love stories, it's got spicy, it takes place on Nochebuena. This is all just ringing all of my bells. And for those who don't know, Nochebuena is Christmas Eve in Spanish. And for a lot of Latin American countries, possibly all of us, I'm not sure, but in definitely Mexico, Nochebuena, Christmas Eve is our Christmas. It's the day we celebrate. The 25th is an afterthought. It's when you wake up and eat leftovers. But we get the party started on the 24th. You stay up in many cases all night, maybe go to mass, whatever, and then open gifts at midnight, and there's tons of food. And so seeing this anthology set during Nochebuena, I was a little warm hug for the heart. It is about 9 couples. It's again takes place on Nochebuena in New York City, and it's got some spicy stuff. It's got obviously happily ever afters for everybody. There's second chance romance and missed connections, and it's just so much fun. I talk so much about how great, what a gift it has been in the last several years to finally see the types of books that I love with me reflected on the page, my culture, it's just so great. And even though we're making tons of strides and actually seeing some more diverse representation in literature, it can get even more difficult to find that in this niche, not only romance, but now a holiday themed romance. There's so much more stuff out there. I've got a couple books in front of me that I intend to read this season that are about Diwali, or is it Diwali? Diwali? I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I want to read the Matzo Ball. We're finally seeing other traditions, other cultures and romance. And this was just such a perfect, hey, look, we wrapped it in a bow. here is a romance with lens of Spanish and like celebrations of Noche Buena. So whether or not you are Latina or identify as such, like this is still just such a fun collection and I hope that you'll give it a read. That is Amor Actually, a holiday romance anthology by Zoe Castile, Alexis Daria, Adriana Herrera, Diana Muñoz-Stewart, Priscila Oliveras, Sabrina Sol, and Mia Sosa. My second pick is an oldie but goodie, and that is Hercule Poirot and the Adventure of the Christmas Pudding by Agatha Christie. I did my best accent on that one, but Poirot has always been one that doesn't exactly roll off the tongue for me. So first things first, Agatha Christie is one of my favorite authors. I've read every book except maybe like two that she's ever written and continues to be someone that I turn to when I want to just go back and revisit the classics. But I, you know, let's call it what it is. She is by far not like a perfect author. Like a lot of stuff that was written a long time ago, there are problematic elements to some of her books. And that, I mean, it's well documented. She had a history of like Orientalism in like her books and like the original name too, and then there were none, was something that I cannot say on this podcast. So like she by no means like always got it right, and if that means that you do not want to engage with her work, that is totally respectable, and you're right, and I encourage you, you know, not to do so. I haven't read this one in quite some time, so I cannot say whether like every part of it holds up, but I do remember enjoying the parts that, you know, I remember enjoying the parts that I remember. Do you like that? Let me tell you about the book. So the minute I saw this one in like a secondhand shop in the UK, it was, you know, I saw that it had like the Christmas pudding in there. I was like, yeah, I'm going to need that. It was one of the ones I hadn't read at the time. And if I remember correctly, this is one of the only, if not the only one of the Christie collections of stories that has both Hercule Poirot and Miss Marple in the same collection. I also want to say that the collection steers more heavily toward stories that feature Poirot, but I could be wrong. Again, it's been like quite some time. I think maybe like 6-7 years, which is not even, you know, all that long, but long enough. I mean, I barely remember stuff I read last week, but I digress. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the stories I remember. One of them, the titular story, of course, is The Adventure of the Christmas Pudding or The Theft of the Royal Ruby. And it starts off with this dude who is about to get married to a cousin, no less, because, you know, old British custom. But right before that, like weeks before, he has a little fling with this woman that he meets in London. And he's like, you know what? Before the fling happens, he's like, I should take all of my expensive jewels with me to London. That's a good idea. I think he's having them like reset at Cartier. And so this is just, I mean, a life I know nothing about because I do not leave this life, leave this kind, that kind of life. But anyway, so he contacts Poirot because he's basically like, hey, so that woman that I had the affair with, she kind of stole this really expensive and like rare ruby from that collection. And I can't tell the cops because if they do, it's going to be a big society scandal and that's going to like ruin my marriage, you know? So I need your help. So he invites Poirot over to this big Christmas celebration at his like English countryside estate that's called like King's Drift or King's Lacey. King's Lacey sounds more accurate. And the intent is that with all these people gathered there, he's going to be able to get to like the bottom of what happened to this ruby somehow. I don't remember how the woman is involved in this, but anyway, that's like the premise. And so then he introduces, you know, Poirot to the family and to, you know, cousins, I think. And the whole family basically is like, who is this like fastidious little man with a mustache? And he's like, he's actually a renowned, you know, detective. He's going to help me solve this case. And I'm like, mm-hmm, sure. And so they decide to stage this fake murder, like he's never going to solve it. And so that's like what they're going to do, right? The next day, like over dinner. So they do some holiday stuff. They like trim the tree and everybody, you know, goes to their rooms at the end of the night. And on his pillow, Poirot sees this note that in, you know, handwritten, like scrawled writing says, yo, homie, like don't eat the plum pudding, from, you know, signed someone who's like got your back. I am obviously paraphrasing, but something like that. Like basically the message being like, do not eat the pudding. Don't eat the plum pudding. Paul was like, interesting. Of course, next day when dinner is served, indeed a plum pudding is served. And so, okay, you know, and then this fake murder plot takes place, except wouldn't you know it, the fake murder has resulted in a real murder. And he has to solve the case of like how this person ended up dead and like who killed them. In addition to the ruby thing, and I just remember finding the story very well plotted and like fun, because again, I love a mystery with that like holiday element to it. I love a locked room. Love it all. There is a story that I don't remember the details of, but I do know that it involves a corpse in a chest. So there's that. And then there's a story about a dream. And this one, I'm going to just quickly give a trigger warning for a very brief mention of suicide. And it's about a man who reaches out to Poirot to tell him that he keeps having this recurring dream that is haunting him night after night. In the dream, he is, I think, like seated at his office at his desk. This takes place every day at the same time at like 3 something in the afternoon. And when the clock like strikes that time, He takes a revolver, you know, in the dream out of his desk and shoots himself with that revolver. So he's like, is something going to happen to me? Is this an omen? Like, why am I having this dream? Like, what does it all mean? And Paco, of course, asks, like, well, do you have any enemies? Is there anything that, you know, you've been worried about? And he's like, no, no, but like, I'm worried about this, you know, help me out. And of course, a few days later, it does indeed turn out that this man has been found dead by, allegedly, suicide by gunshot wound. But yeah, is that really the case? Paco is going to have to figure that out. So these are two very different types of books, but they're very much the kind of thing that I reach for. I like something on the cozy side, and cozy can mean obviously many things to many different people, but I just like something that feels kind of like easy, holiday themed, that I find either like clever or charming and or sexy. And I really, really just love both of these books for that reason. I feel like I'm going to end up revisiting this Christmas pudding collection over the holiday when I have a little bit of time off work, because I need to get to know the stories and remember the details that I was not able to flesh out for you here today. But those are my picks for season's readings, and this is also my last backlist show of the year of 2022. So just want to say, in addition to happy reading, to wish you all a happy holiday season. If you celebrate whatever you celebrate, I hope that that is, you know, a great and restful and just joyful time for you. I hope you all stay happy and healthy, and of course I'll catch you again in the new year. Although, if you are listening to the regular All the Books podcast, I will be on, I think, the next week's show, week after that, with Liberty to discuss my favorite books of 2022. So look forward to that as well. Thank you so much to our sponsor, and thank you to our audio editor, Jen Z and Kuchis. Oh, chef's kiss does all the magic to make our shows sound great. I do not always make that job easy. For more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. You can find a list of the books that I've mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. And remember, if you're a fan of All the Books and all the backlists and you want to give us a little treat, maybe a holiday treat, please consider leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you can rate podcasts. We really appreciate those reviews since they help other book lovers find us. And if you want to find me, I am mostly on Instagram at Buenos Dias SD. That's BuenosDiazsD. Of course, in the meantime, until we talk again, once again, happy reading, and thank you so much for listening.